Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is part of a series we call Poet's Corner, an appendage to a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. This segment is John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Podcast 37, Episode 8, Chapter 2D, The Final Judgment.
In last week's episode, we continued with the interpreter. In this week's episode, we conclude as he takes us to the final judgment. Speaking to a man, once of great faith, who was locked in a cage, Christian asked, "But how camest thou in this condition?" The man answered,
"I left off to watch and be sober. I gave free reins to sin. I sinned against the light of the Word and the goodness of God. I have grieved the Spirit, and he is gone. I tempted the devil, and he has come to me. I have provoked God to anger, and he has left me. I have so hardened my heart that I cannot turn."
Of course, these were all obstacles that the Bible warned against. It is impractical for our purposes to trace down every biblical allusion used in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. It would turn this podcast into an encyclopedia of the Bible. But I shall use the above to illustrate just how rich the allusions are. Notice from the following that in the above short paragraph there are at least 7 biblical allusions, many more, if one traced down all repetitions.
Watch and be sober. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Gave free reins to sin. Romans 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Sinned against the light, Hebrews 6:4-6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him in an open shame. Grieved the Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Tempted the devil, James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Provoke God to anger, Deuteronomy 9:7-8. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Oreb you provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. Hardened my heart, Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief.
One message of Pilgrim's Progress is personal accountability. In the war against Satan on earth, Bunyan analyzes the cunning of Satan. However, he holds us personally accountable for our own actions. The irony is that the man has put himself in the cage willingly. Christ holds out hope for everyone. However, Satan has so bound the man that he has convinced himself that he can never get out of the cage. Therefore, he willfully, from his despair, stays there and refuses to take the steps of repentance necessary to get out of the cage. It is Satan who tells Christians they can't repent, not God. Christian asks the interpreter, "But are there no hopes for such a man as this?" Again, the interpreter tells Christian, "Ask him."
Then said Christian, "Is there no hope, but you must be kept in the iron cage of despair?"
It is the man himself who answers the question, not God, not the Holy Ghost, not the gospel of repentance. He answers,
"None at all."
Christian tries to tell the man in chains, "Why? The Son of the Blessed is very pitiful." However, the man will not listen to Christian. He declares,
"I have crucified him to myself afresh. I have despised his person. I have despised his holiness. I have counted his blood an unholy thing. I have shown contempt to the Spirit of mercy. Therefore, I have shut myself out of all the promises of God, and there now remains to me nothing but threatenings, dreadful threatenings, fearful threatenings of certain judgment and fiery anger, which shall devour me as an enemy."
Christian asks, "For what did you bring yourself into this condition?"
"For the desires, pleasures, and gains of this world, in the enjoyment of which I did then promise myself much delight. But now every one of those things also bite me and gnaw me like a burning worm."
Christian again urges him to turn again to God, but he refuses.
"God no longer invites me to come to him. His word gives me no encouragement to believe. Yea, himself hath shut me up in this iron cage, nor can all the men in the world let me out. O eternity, eternity, how shall I grapple with the misery that I must meet with in eternity?"
God does not refuse the man. The man, so bound by the chains of Satan, refuses to allow God back into his life. The interpreter impresses this upon Christian's mind.
Then said the interpreter to Christian, "Let this man's misery be remembered by thee, and be an everlasting caution to thee."
Christian is committed to following the counsel of the interpreter.
"Well," said Christian, "this is fearful. God help me to watch and be sober, and to pray that I may shun the cause of this man's misery. Sir, is it not time for me to go on my way now?"
Learning the path to salvation is a slow process, and Christian is a very impatient man. A scripture comes to mind that describes Christian's dilemma. It is voiced by Isaiah.
"Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people."
Christian, who of course represents all Christians on their journey to salvation, is still naive. Each new trial is seen as if it will be the last. He is also flippant when he said, "God help me to watch and be sober." He does not fully understand what Peter meant when he said that your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Christian is a little too anxious to hurry on his way. The interpreter, who understands his impatience, holds him back. He said,
"Tarry till I show thee one thing more, and then thou shalt go on thy way."
That proves to be a great understatement. One gets the feeling that Christian is growing impatient with the interpreter's slow way of teaching. However, he is not prepared for what he is about to see. It shakes him to the core.
"So he took Christian by the hand again, and led him into a chamber where there was one rising out of bed, and as he put on his clothing, he shook and trembled."
The fear in the man's face disturbs Christian.
"Then said Christian, why doth this man thus tremble?"
Notice that the clever interpreter doesn't answer Christian's question. That would be too academic and removed. He has the horror-struck man tell him his own tale.
The interpreter then bid him tell Christian the reason of his so doing.
The first-person narrative is far more effective and chilling.
So he began and said, "This night, as I was in my sleep, I dreamed, and behold, the heavens grew exceedingly black. Also, it thundered and lightened in a most fearful manner that it put me into an agony. So I looked up in my dream and saw the clouds rack at an unusual rate, upon which I heard a great sound of a trumpet, and saw also a man sitting upon a cloud, attended with the thousands of heaven. They were all in flaming fire. Also the heavens were in a burning flame."
This is referring to end time. In Revelation 14 we read,
"And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs."
This is the final judgment. The man continues to tell his tale to Christian.
"I heard then a great voice saying, Arise, ye dead, and come to judgment. With that the rocks rent, the graves opened, and the dead that were therein came forth. Some of them were exceeding glad, and looked upward, and some thought to hide themselves under the mountains."
This too is an allusion to the writings of John in the book of Revelation.
Revelation 20:12-15. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire."
It leads to the final judgment of the wicked.
"Then I saw the man that sat upon the cloud open the book and bid the world draw near. Yet there was, by reason of a fierce flame that issued out and came before him, a certain distance betwixt him and them, and betwixt the judge and the prisoners at the bar. I heard it also called out to them that stood around on the man that sat on the cloud, Gather together the tares, the chaff, and stubble, and cast them into the burning lake."
That was an allusion to the parable of the wheat and tares.
Matthew 13:30. "Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn."
The man saw into hell.
"And with that the bottomless pit opened just whereabout I stood, out of the mouth of which there came in an abundant manner smoke and coals of fire and hideous noises. It was also said to the same persons, "Gather my wheat into the garner." And with that I saw many catched up and carried away into the clouds. But I was left behind. I also sought to hide myself, but I could not, for the man that sat upon the clouds still kept his eye upon me. My sins also came into my mind, and my conscience did accuse me on every side. Upon this I awakened from my sleep.
The allusion is from Revelation 9.
And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power.
Christian now realizes that he is not ready to stand before the judgment bar. For one thing, he still carries the burden on his back. The man with the dream symbolizes a mirror reflecting the life of Christian. Like the man awakening from his deadly dream, Christian is now also filled with horror. Remember, he fled the city of destruction to find a way to avoid the calamity. Suddenly, he discovers that he is in even greater danger than he had imagined. This appears imminent, he asks the man.
But what was it that made you so afraid of this sight?
The man echoes Christian's own words for leaving the city of destruction.
Why, I thought that the day of judgment was come, and that I was not ready for it. But this affrighted me most, that the angels gathered up several and left me behind. Also, the pit of hell opened her mouth just where I stood. My conscience, too, troubled me. And as I thought, the judge had always his eyes upon me, showing anger in his countenance.
Now notice what the interpreter said to Christian. This discloses the real purpose of the interpreter, to open Christian's eyes to the perilous situation he was in.
Then said the interpreter to Christian, "Hast thou considered these things?"
Christian's reply is predictable.
"Yes, and they put me in hope and fear."
Now Christian is ready to begin his journey. Before now, he was not ready. Remember that the first thing Christian did in his panic and desire to flee the city of destruction was to fall into the slough of Despond. As if that weren't dangerous enough, when he escaped the slough of Despond, and before he even got to the wicket gate, he was lured from the straight and narrow way by worldly wise men and led into the city of morality, where he was to meet legality and civility, showing that he hadn't understood anything evangelists had said. He nearly lost his life by having a mountain fall on him. That is why, before continuing his journey, he had to meet the interpreter. The interpreter helps him to understand evangelists.
"Well, keep all things so in thy mind, that they may be as a goad in thy sides to prick thee forward in the way thou must go."
Forward, as opposed to backward, by following men such as worldly wise man. Though he has much to learn, now Christian is truly prepared for his journey.
Then Christian began to gird up his loins and to address himself to his journey.
The interpreter softens his voice and speaks words of comfort.
Then said the interpreter, "The Comforter be always with thee, good Christian, to guide thee into the way that leads to the city."
Christian, much wiser, now sees things more realistically.
So Christian went on his way, saying, "Here have I seen things rare and profitable, things pleasant, dreadful, things to make me stable in what I have begun to take in hand. Then let me think on them and understand. Wherefore they showed me where, and let me be thankful, O good interpreter, to thee."
The above illustrates just how profoundly analytical Bunyan is. First, he takes the Bible literally. Second, he does not apologize or make trials of a Christian appear easy or trivial. And finally, he does not compromise. He believes in the absolute nature of law. This concludes chapter 2. Please join us next week as we begin chapter 3.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.